Episode 1650, My Strength is My Story with Autumn Miles, Gangster Prayer.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy, happy day. It is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us a welcome back home to Autumn Miles. She is here with us again. Can you believe it's only been a year since she's been here? But oh my gosh, she shares her heart. You are going to hear the joy explode within our conversation. You will love her. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, friends and family of Autumn's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, Autumn gets real raw. We have a heart to heaven talk, and it's all about prayer. Now, don't hang up yet. Don't push pause or run away. You need to keep listening because Autumn shares her heart, and you can tell that prayer is a part of her life. It's not just convenience when she needs something from God. It goes much deeper. You're going to hear a heart of hurt and a heart of healing. You're going to hear a heart on fire for God. So without further ado, let's welcome in Autumn Miles, Gangster Prayer. Hello and welcome to Create You Now. Oh, I am so excited. We have with us a welcome back sister, Autumn Miles. She is the wife of 15 years to Eddie and a mom to their four beautiful children. She's the founder of Autumn Miles Ministry, an organization devoted to spiritually challenging the way women think, and she's the CEO of the Blush Network. As a survivor of domestic abuse, Autumn is passionate about educating the church on how to effectively assist victims. Autumn is a dynamic speaker, which you will hear from her. You will love her. A radio show host of The Autumn Miles Show and author of three books, Appointed, Your Future Starts Now, I Am Rahab, I Love This One, Touched by God, Fully Restored, but her brand new book, I just got to say, Gangster Prayer, Relentlessly Pursuing God with Passion and Great Expectation, it just might be my favorite of the three. Oh, my goodness. You know, Autumn, welcome back, my sister. It's so good to have you home.
Wow, it is so good to be with you. Thank you for having me back. I was so thrilled to see that request come through. So we're going to have fun. It's going to be an awesome, awesome show.
Well, I want to start off by saying we had you when you launched your second book for I Am Rahab. So I will make sure to have all that information in the show notes for listeners who haven't had the opportunity to listen to it. And those who are going to want to go back and really hear your thought-provoking story. We shared some intense conversation, and I know people will be touched and moved. But we got to jump into the new stuff. So first, let's start off with, what brings you joy today?
What brings me joy today? Oh my goodness. So many things. I'm finding just today, if you want to talk just actually today, I'm finding such a beauty with sitting outside every morning with the Lord. I have daily quiet time, but it's just been so beautiful here. It's not super hot in Dallas right now. So I just sitting outside this morning watching the sun come up, and I was like, man, thank you, Jesus, just for your creation. So brought me a lot of joy this morning. It was very nice, much needed rest after the craziness of yesterday.
Well, and the craziness of yesterday was the launch of your brand new book, Gangster Prayer.
Yes. It launched. It's doing awesome. I can't even believe it. But we're excited about it. Yeah, it was a great day.
Oh, well, I'm excited about it because I have had the privilege of reading it prior to us chatting. I try to do that, as you know, and I read every inch of it from front to back. And like I said, it is probably of the three. Now, I got to admit, though, I have not read your first book, so I'm a little behind on the first one. But of the two that I've read, I absolutely love this one. Absolutely. Good. So let's start off with the first sentence. Here we go. Hold on here. I got to read this because I loved it, man. I was all in here. Criminals are more passionate about doing evil than you are about praying, God said to my spirit.
He sure did.
Your wake-up call, girl.
Yes, yes. I mean, just to paint the picture for you, I was watching this. I really like based on a true story, like documentaries. I watch any movie that's based on a true story. I'm drawn in. And so during this particular season in my life, I was watching a documentary on mobsters and gangsters. And I was drawn in. I think like these are real life people and they're doing this stuff. And oh my goodness gracious. But I was kind of addicted to it because I was like, I was just intrigued, and I was intrigued by the character of the actual mobsters and gangsters, their loyalty to their cause, their loyalty to the assignment that they were given. They would stop at absolutely nothing in order to achieve whatever the crime boss or whatever it was told them to do. And so I'm like looking at this character trait in these people and thinking, wow, that's kind of admirable. Like I wish we could harness that and shift it to good, right? And it was almost as I was thinking that the Spirit of God spoke so clearly to me and said, you see them? They're more passionate about their mission of evil than you are your mission of prayer. And it came out of nowhere. Sometimes the Spirit of God will speak to you and it kind of seems like it's out of nowhere, but it's a very clear, direct thought. It's more than like a hearing. It's like a knowing. And it got my full attention because at first I was offended. I thought, what? God, don't you know I've been in church my whole life? I mean, like, I'm going to talk to God about that, you know, but that's kind of my first response was to defend myself. But God, look at all these things that I've done. I prayed here. I pray every night before dinner. I pray with my, you know, whatever, my family. And, but the message was sent and I sat there offended, kind of mad, but convicted in the best way because I had to sit there and say, you know what? Isn't God always right? Wow, God, you totally pegged me. And it was a moment of reckoning for me. It was more than a wake-up call. It was, it just kind of shook me. It shook me to my core and made me take an honest audit of my prayer life. I had to actually look at my prayer life, and what I told people and the perception of what people thought I was didn't meet what was actually happening. So I needed to change it.
I love that rawness with you, Autumn. And I think maybe that's why I love this book so much, because you don't sugarcoat it, girlfriend. I mean, you're all gangster on it, and I love it. I'm like, you go, girl. You just say it like it is. I'm going to go back, actually, because I was pressed for time, and I wanted to make sure I got through the entire book. But yes. I wanted to go, and I'm going to go back and absorb some areas, things that I was convicted of myself, and just kind of putting some question marks going, okay, I need to go look at this area of my prayer life. And I just got to say this from the beginning. You've got a few disclaimers in your book, but which I love, but people are going to have to pick up their own copy to read all those disclaimers.
That's
but,
right.
But the disclaimer for this one now, as we speak, is that this is not a how-to-pray book.
No.
In my opinion, that's what I got from it. So there are those how to pray books out there. Mm-hmm. There are those that go a little bit more in depth in the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. This takes a totally different perspective. Mm-hmm. One that it's all gangster. Mm-hmm. And I love it. So define gangster prayer for us so we're all on the same page.
I mean, I think here's the thing. When God told me that, it was many, many years ago, you know, these guys are more passionate, and women in some cases are more passionate about their mission of evil than you are of prayer. It changed me, and I didn't know how do you package that? How do you package that conviction? And so it was crazy. That night I determined to totally overhaul my prayer life. And God gave me the title. I started off like years ago using it as a little hashtag. And I think people thought I was trying to be trendy and cute, but I wasn't, because I just felt like this is the only way I know how to define the urgency and the seriousness of what I'm trying to do. So I've used the hashtag gangster prayer for several years, but gangster prayer in general, it is about doing the work of prayer, overhauling your prayer life, really persevering in prayer, wrestling in prayer, fighting in prayer, things that I think it's dying in our world. I think it's dying in our culture. We want to communicate on Instagram and Facebook and podcasts and social media and, you know, whatever, but we don't want to communicate with the actual being, Almighty God, that can give us the success that we're wanting in these other areas of our lives. We want something more than prayer. And I talk about this in the book. Our culture and our generation specifically, and the millennials, those that are younger than me, because I'm not quite a millennial, but that generation, they're looking for something more strategic than prayer. They're looking for something that adds to prayer. Yeah, prayer, that's nice. That's for my 80-year-old grandma. I'm looking for 7 tips on how to be successful. And we actually made a shirt with this on it because I was so tired of people saying, Autumn, give me the steps on how to get a book deal. Give me the steps on how to get paid to speak. Give me the steps on how to run I heard this question so many times that it started to make me mad. So there is one portion in the book that is like, listen, none of those things are ever going to achieve for you what prayer is. Prayer is the insight. You want something more insightful than prayer, and you are cheapening and disrespecting the most insightful thing that we have in our inheritance as children of God. So I know that was a long answer to a very short question. It's really getting serious. You want a miracle? You got to do the work of prayer. It's not a duty. It's a privilege. It's so exciting because I've done the work for 20 years, I have been able to see healings. I've been able to see, oh my goodness, $1 million given in a couple of days. Like, that's crazy, you know? I've been able to see my babies born after 15 years of waiting. I've been able to see people get married after single for 40 years. I've been able to walk through my life and see miracles on a regular basis. A lot of my friends, I'll tell them, hey, this is going on in my life. And they're like, oh yeah, of course it is. And it's almost like they're like talking down to me. Like, of course it's happening in your life. Like I'm not surprised. And it's almost like, you know, they're condescending speaking to me. And every time I have to catch myself when I try to get offended, because I realize, you know what? I am living a life of miracles only. And I take no credit for this whatsoever, only because I am desperate for the Lord to interact in my life.
Amen. Amen. And we need to hear that more, because we're caught up in what you were talking about, these 7 steps, the 3 steps.
Yes.
You know, vlogging out there, whatever ogging you want to be doing out there. You know, yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, wait. Let's get into where prayer really is and what does it mean. And it's the communication. It's the language. Mm-hmm. It's that connection to God, our Creator. Why would you not want to pray and have that connection?
Yeah. So one of the things that I got really frustrated about is that I have the privilege of traveling to many different churches, and there's a lot of money put in production. I love production. I am all about a good worship set when the lights and the this and the that, like I am super all about it. I'm very pro. But I have asked at times, so when do you guys pray? Like, when's your prayer meeting? And it's kind of like, you know, some churches are doing it amazing. Okay. They're killing it. But then the other churches, it's kind of like, they look at you like, and it started to stir after 20 years of traveling and speaking. It started to stir in me. Wait a minute. You have spent how much money on your production set, but you don't have a free prayer meeting where you can actually talk to the Lord and he promises to answer us. So is your house really a house of prayer, like Jesus calls it, or is it a house of production? And I'm very, very plain about this in the book. I know some people are probably going to hate me for this, but if we spend so much money on marketing, production, whatever, but we do not spend time on a prayer meeting that is free, that will always produce more for us than that production does, we have got a priority problem in our churches. And even in our lives, if we're spending more time on social media, if we're spending more time on buying stuff to fill ourselves up or to make ourselves scratch that itch that really is there for us to communicate with God and for God to fulfill our greatest needs, we have got a priority problem. So I talk a lot about that in the book, just about how we have got to get it right when it comes to setting our priorities straight when it comes to prayer.
Yes. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit about Amazon Prime Day. We just came off of it 2 days in a row. Help us all, 48 hours. What if we took that time? Because I'll admit, I bought two things. They were piddly things. I got a recipe book and then I bought a Bible. Believe it or not, that's the only two things I bought. But I'm being honest. That's what I bought. And yes. But I would have bought those regardless. It wasn't because of Prime Day. You know, it just happened. Yeah. But if we think about what we bought over the last 2 days, if we spent that time in prayer, what is the fruit that we could experience from that time in prayer?
It's amazing. When I started overhauling my prayer life, and I mean overhauling, I talk about it in the book. I went to a cemetery because I'm like, no one's going to bother me here. I don't know why I have all these stories about praying in the cemeteries. But I went to the cemetery and I was like, okay, I'm convicted. I have been checking my religious box. I've been talking at God, not to him. I've been talking at God to please other people because I want them to think I'm religious. I don't really care about communicating to God. And I went to this cemetery and I started walking and I didn't even know. Here I am. I'm like in my 20s. Here I am. I don't even know what to do. And I'm a pastor's daughter. I'm so desperate at this point in my life after my conviction to communicate with God, not just at him, that I started walking and I started saying things like, hey, God, wait, no, that sounds stupid. You know, like, what's up, God? Like, how do you even start? I mean, I took it all the way back. And it was crazy to me. I felt like I had like missed my chance or whatever. I missed my big break. And then I started to relax and realize that this was a simple conversation where I expected an answer. I expected him to communicate to me and me to communicate to him. I realized for a long time, I was never expecting an answer. I was never expecting him to communicate back with me, which is why I know I was talking at God. And my life began to change. I began to ask God, okay, I'm going to pray for this. It's so stupid, but I know if you can answer my really stupid prayers, then I know you'll answer my really big prayers. And I just started this. I would ask him for things like, we need to sell a car. And so I asked him to sell a car within a month. And that's the first time I ever tried to fast. And sold it in 3 weeks. And I mean, like little things like that. I started off really small, learning that God had a giving spirit, learning that he wanted to give me those little things. I was a waitress at the time. He wanted to give me that $50 tip when really I didn't really need it, you know, just to say, atta girl, I'm right here with you. So that's sort of how I started my prayer life. And because I put in the time and the investment, just like in any relationship, if I'm with my husband, I don't talk to him for, 6 months, we're not going to have a really good marriage. Okay. But if I'm talking to my husband every day, texting him throughout the day, whatever, talking at night, talking at dinner, whatever, we're going to probably have really high communication skills. We're going to be on the same wavelength. I'm going to know his voice. I'm going to know his intention. I'm going to know his heart and he's going to know mine. The same is true with God. It is not that hard to do, but it does take investment. And man, when I started doing that, my entire life changed. Everything I am today is a result of a prayer that God answered. Everything.
Well, I just love it. In your book, you talk about how you found your agent for writing books and all of that. And I know as an author, people who aspire to be authors, you know, that you always get those questions, multiple ones. But there was a line that was in there, a sentence that had gangster prayer in it. And you wrote and said how this came about along with your other book, I Am Rahab.
Yeah. My agent, how Gangster Prayer got published, it was absolutely crazy because my editor was editing Rahab. So it was in, I believe it was in March or April. They were running the edits through Rahab and they got to edit my books. Like I'm not a grammar. The grammar is not my thing. So they really got to edit them. But he's going through my book and I put one line in the book, prayer is a dying language. And my editor out to the side, because you can talk to each other through this document. He says, book, ? And as soon as as my eyes saw that, my spirit knew. I was listening. I was tuned into the Spirit of God. I had talked to him that day multiple times. And it was like the Spirit of God electrified me and said, this is it. I want you to respond and say, absolutely. I'm looking at publishing another manuscript. And so I did. Within minutes, he came back to me and he said, we want to see that proposal. 2 weeks later, I had this book deal. It was because of the power of God, the fact that we were communicating, the fact that I knew his voice, that I was able to respond immediately. I did not analyze it. I didn't have to pray about it. I just knew that God was saying, listen, this is it, girl. Go for this. I want you to write this. And 2 weeks later, we had the book deal. So that's just one story of our communication. But my agent is another one. I felt like for years, my mom, she's my biggest fan, right? She's like, you know, Autumn, you need to do this. She called me one day and she was like, Autumn, you really need an agent. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. And she's like, no, Autumn, you need an agent from Ambassador Speaker Bureau needs to be your agent. And I'm like laughing. I'm like, yeah, mom. Okay. Haha. That's really funny. She's like, no, just call them. I'm like, mom, I'm not going to call them and say you need to represent me. She's like, oh, Autumn, just call them. Well, I wasn't going to call them. But I did start praying for them. I prayed. I think it was for 3 years. We prayed for Ambassador Speakers Bureau. And the president of Ambassadors, his name is Wes. And so I would pray for him. I would pray for God to bless the bureau, to bless the ministry. 3 years later, I go to a conference. And my publicist reaches out to me and she's like, hey, Autumn, Ambassador Speakers Bureau wants to meet with you. And I was like, really? That's incredible. She had no idea I'd been praying for this bureau. We got there and I thought it was going to be an assistant. And it was Wes himself that I sat down and met with. And a couple months later, they signed me on. So when I talk about praying specifically in the book, when I talk about doing the work of prayer, my life is why I'm so passionate about this, because this is not something that I saw, you know, from somebody else. This is how I live. And people ask me all the time about how do you get results from prayer? So literally all the time. So I packaged it all in a book, but yeah.
Oh, and I love it. It gives me chills thinking about it. Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Gangster Prayer, Relentlessly Pursuing God with Passion and Great Expectation. Well, I have to ask you the ever secret question.
Okay.
Is there a right way or a wrong way to pray?
I don't think so. I think, I'm glad you asked that. I think I have prayed in every different way imaginable. You know, there's sometimes when I don't even have the words. We just went through a really difficult season, and I would just sit in an attitude of prayer and sob. Sometimes to me, that is the most purest communication with God, letting the Spirit of God intercede comfort and interpret those sobs to the Lord. I mean, I've laughed. I've not like ridiculously, but you know, sometimes you're like, God, what are you doing here? You know, I mean, I have done it every which way. I do believe that God interprets our attitude of prayer. I think sometimes grunts, sometimes moans. I mean, whatever it is that communicates, you know, if I look at my daughter and she's grunting at me, she is communicating to me. It's my job to tune into her. What is causing that to come out of you, right? If I look at my kids and I see them crying, I can pretty much peg or I know where that's coming from. If God is our father, just like I am a mother, he can look at us and he knows exactly what's causing that. It's all about an attitude. I will say this though, I am very confident that a lot of people are not seeing God interact in their prayer life the way that they want to because the foundation of their prayer life is doubt. That is the wrong way to pray. You know, the Bible tells us without faith is impossible to please God. And I think it's in that chapter, might be in the Disrespected Yes, but I put 37 different times in the Bible when God said yes, when people had faith. And you sit back and you look, and when I was evaluating my prayer life all those years ago, I realized that if I prayed, I would doubt God would rather than believe that he would. And I think we have a lot of believers that are praying and they're hopeful, but they're doubting God will rather than believing that he will. We have to take that prayer life all the way back to its foundation. And we have to evaluate, what is our thoughts when we do pray? Do we believe he's going to come through? Are we watching for him? Are we sitting at the edge of our seats? Are we expectant for him? Or do we say, you know what, God, you're probably not going to answer anyway, but you know, I'm just going to throw this out there. What is our internal attitude and what is our internal foundation? We might not say it to like on a podcast. We might not say it to like our husband. We might not say it out loud, which is why I think this book speaks and it's resonating with people because it's talking about what people never talk about. It's talking about what people, especially religious people, would never say out loud. Okay. It kind of pulls the veil back and is raw. And I felt like it needed to be done.
I totally agree that needed to be them. And that's what I love about your heart, Autumn, because you do not leave anything on the table. You don't beat around the bush. You go right in between it and you get all the sticks and the leaves all at the same time. And I love it. What do you think, though? I can hear right now a person saying, okay, I pray. I get that. How can you begin to pray and build a foundation of prayer through faith versus through doubt?
Listen, if my kids are going to come to me and, you know, they're saying, hey, Mom, I think I write a story about my son, Jude, in here. I talk a lot about my relationship with my kids because I have that same relationship with the Lord. My kids will come to me and they'll like Jude specifically in this instance. He said, hey, Mom, I want these shoes. I didn't even know what the shoes were, but I said, okay, son, we hear you. You know, I'll look into it. He 2 days later automatically assumed that my answer was no to his shoes. What he didn't realize is that during those 2 days, I had to find out what the shoes were because I'm old. I had to find the shoes. I had to purchase the shoes, and then I had to bring them home, right? The answer was not no, okay? The answer was, listen, there's some work to be done in order to give you this request. And I think sometimes when we're praying, it's really, really easy to assume the no. But one thing that's amazing about the Lord is that we have the freedom to ask him to prove himself to us. If you are struggling in faith, why not ask God for something small in prayer that you have the faith to believe for? Why not ask God to start very small? Listen, do you need $1 million? Maybe, but do you have the faith to back up that prayer? Probably not, okay? You might not, but you might have the faith to ask God for rent for the next month. You might have that faith. You might have the faith to ask God for a sale shirt that you need because you're running a little low on cash. Start small. And I ask God for everything. Parking spaces, I have a whole story about nails in the book, but that is how I built. When I saw that God answered these tiny little specific things that I would ask him, it gave me faith to pray for bigger. It gave me faith to pray for bolder, stronger prayers. I didn't start off asking for $1 million. So my faith could not support that. I had to work my way up and understand that when God delays, like I did with Jude Shoes, there is a process to the answer that we have to trust that God is working on in order to bring it to us.
Amen. We have to do the work in order for God to show up to do the work. And if we're not communicating with God, we're not going to hear his voice. And he's not going to be able to reveal it to us. I mean, sometimes I think we just want to sit back and say, Lord, strike me with lightning. Give me all the answers. Give me what I need. Mm-hmm. Then why would we even need to pray?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. People want the results from prayer, but they don't want to pray. You know, I think that's, you got it wrong. It's wrong. You know, we want to say that we're believing for something. That's such a Christianese term. It's like a relevant Christian term. I'm believing for this for you. But then you don't pray about it. I mean, we have to do the work. We have to put the work in. Working prayer always works. It just always works, no matter what kind that you put in. I put a whole chapter in the book about working prayer. It's a practice that you have to get into. It's a routine and a rhythm that you have to build in your life. And once you do that and your faith is growing along with that, I mean, you can look to that mountain and say, move, and it will move. It's amazing what God will do through prayer and through your faith.
Well, amen. It gives me goosebumps. I mean, all your stories that you share, it's incredible. And also, I want to point out that in each chapter, you have something that starts it out called Fight the Lie. I mean, come on, yeah. Gangsters fight, right? So why not call it Fight the Lie? One of the Fight the Lies you have, which I caught on and I think is very important nowadays because of our different generational gaps and how people are being, quote unquote, fed the word of God. It's repentance is just a word for old religious people. Stab it. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm shifting in my seat because I'm getting excited. I love this chapter. I don't think we talk about repentance enough. I think we talk about repentance from sin, and I think we talk about getting saved and asking Jesus to become Lord of your life and forgiveness there. But after that, I'm not hearing a ton of messages on repentance. And I felt like I needed to put that in the book. It is one of those things that I believe is a not so secret weapon when it comes to having your heart pure before the Lord, engaging with him and him able to gauge with you without sin in your life. I repent a lot. Okay. Because I just know that I struggle with so many things. I know who I am. I know my weaknesses. I think we've got to get back to the idea of seeking forgiveness from our Lord. Not just for the forgiveness of sins and for the relationship with God, because we understand that that's salvation, but further in your life, if you're struggling with gossip, if you're struggling with lying, if you're struggling with whatever it is,
during prime time,
shopping too much, you know, whatever God convicts you of, you know, it is so important to take an audit of our sin life and say, you know what, Lord, I bring this before you and I repent and I turn from this sin. Help me to walk in righteousness that you promised to give in forgiveness. I'm very clear in the book. I sat in a lot of sermons in the 80s being a pastor's kid. where the preacher would be, not my dad, because my dad was a pastor, but we would have guest speakers and stuff, and they'd have that like shouty, like, repent, repent. But repentance is the most powerful, beautiful, amazing feeling and thing that I have ever done. It brings relief. It brings freedom. There is like almost a euphoria that comes over you when you realize what you have done and that there is forgiveness to replace that, which is why I think if we can peel back the layers of our prayer life and we can actually look at our life and say, have I actually asked God to intervene his blood on the cross in these areas in my life? I think we would see more people happy, more people joyful, more people not so mean on social media, less fighting. I think some of the stuff that we deal with is not really the stuff that we are putting out there, but it is a product of unrepentant sin in our own life.
Mm, you preach it, girl. I love it. Well, okay, so I know people are saying, okay, well, you wrote the gangster prayer thing. You must be an expert. So we're going to peel back the layers for you. What has God challenged you in your prayer life?
All of it. I mean, that's why I wrote the book. I think different seasons, all of it, like, to be honest, this is something that was built over lots and lots of years. I would say in the last couple of years, God has challenged me very hard in the area of fasting. I don't think we talk about fasting enough. I think, again, it's like one of those things that's for old people. We'll do a Daniel fast or something, maybe to lose weight. I don't really know. But really, when God says these types of things, this kind of faith does not come to you without prayer and fasting, okay? Which tells me there is a level of faith that we can get to that is beyond where we are without sacrifice. So last year, I really took this to heart. I'm like, listen, God, I'm praying huge things for me. And God would ask me this, well, are you willing to sacrifice for it? Are you willing to fast for it? And I started this process of almost a routine of fasting. And I am telling you what, it overhauled my mindset. I remember I was fasting. We were at Disney World. And you know, at Disney World, they have the most delicious food ever. I love Disney World. We go every year with my kids. But I was walking around and I had been fasting, I think, for 2 weeks at this point. And Disney World, all I want to do is like pick up ice cream and eat it or whatever.
Mickey Mouse ears,
100%. But I was walking around and I was realizing that I was experiencing that day a joy that was beyond Disney World with my kids. I was feeling in that moment just an acceptance that was beyond where I was sensing. I remember it so clearly because my husband took a picture of me and my daughter, and it was almost like God froze that frame for me in my mind and said, remember how this feels. This is what it feels like to truly commune with me and let me heal your spirit and let sort of dine and sit at my table on a regular basis. When you sacrifice for me, this is the kind of internal peace I will give you. So I would say that's been the big one recently, but the whole book is how I screwed up my prayer life, you know?
Well, it may be about how you screwed it up, but God has really pulled in the reins with you and you have a connection. And I think, I mean, we got to be honest. People will be jealous of that, Autumn, that, oh my gosh, you're getting stuff that I've been praying for forever. What am I doing wrong that you're doing right? What do you say to that person who's kind of feeling, I don't know, left out, shameful, shy?
That exact thing that you just said, I'm frustrated that they're getting answers and I'm not, is one of the things that instigated this whole process all those years ago. I was so frustrated about having to go to someone that I felt like got results from their prayer life, but I didn't. I didn't want to go to somebody else. I wanted to get them for myself. And, so that mental process I can identify with really, really quick because it's one of the really, really closely because it's one of the reasons why I wrote the book. But I would say to people who are struggling, first of all, this is a way to help that. The whole book will help you out with that. But one of the tips that I learned during that season of my life was getting, when I thought God would give me a promise in prayer, was confirming it with scripture. So if I felt like the Spirit of God was telling me, you know, you're going to get married someday, I would go to the Word of God and I would say, okay, Spirit of God has told me this. Now, Word of God, confirm it to me in a way that you know I will listen, and let that be a tangible example and proof of what the Spirit of God has said. So this is the concept in the book that I talk about with scriptural confirmation. If I just left it to what the Spirit of God told me without scripturally confirming some of these promises, I would forget, I would doubt, I would wonder if it was just me that was thinking it, or was this really the Spirit of God, or was that like bad chicken I ate last night, or like what in the world is happening here? But every time I felt like I got a promise from God, I would ask God to confirm it with scripture. I have taught this to hundreds of team members over the years. I have taught this to thousands of college students over the years, this concept of scriptural confirmation. When you can stand on the scripture that is confirmation from a promise, you can pray for years. And that scripture every time will give you life. It will give you hope. It will give you peace, no matter what the outside circumstances look like. So those people that are like, they answer for, God answers for them, but not for me. This is a great way to stop that. When you feel like God is telling you something specifically, you're going to get married, you're going to have kids, whatever it is that is specific to you, and you hear from the Spirit of God, ask God to confirm it with scripture, and you stand on that scripture when he gives it until you see the fruition of that thing. There has been just everything in my life has a confirming scripture. I still do that to that day because I know that I am weak in my mind. I know that that Satan will psychologically attack me with his lies, telling me you didn't hear God right. This is not what God said. Look at what's happening around you. And every time I hear those things, I can go back to that scripture and combat that lie with it. That's how you can persevere in prayer, and that's how you can wait and actually see results. All these prayers, I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot, but all of these prayers, I feel like people want an answer in 2 weeks. The results in my prayer life have come from years of waiting, years of praying, years of believing, years of standing on the scripture. And anybody can do it. Like, this is like foolproof stuff. Like, that's why I wrote this. I don't have a PhD. I'm just a girl who loves Jesus and loves her Bible. It's in very, very plain words, because if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Amen. And you share a story. You have lots of stories in your book. But I want to talk about this one particular story, because we kind of touched on it when we met the last time, I Am Rahab. And you said about I'm writing, because you were in the midst of writing Gangster Prayer at the time.
Yeah.
I still have the little note right here, my post-it that wrote down Gangster Prayer, Autumn Miles. And I have it sticking up here on the side of my desk, knowing that this book was coming out. That was a year ago that we talked about that. But when we talked, you had two beautiful children,
mm-hmm.
but you knew that mm-hmm. there was more.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit more about how all of that came about with the twins, the et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I mean, I've wanted to adopt since I was 18 years old. And when we talked last year, I did have all four kids, when I was 18, I always wanted to adopt. My husband, when we got married in 2004, I talked to him about this idea of adoption, and he was like, I think he was a little scared at first, just because we didn't know anyone who had adopted. And he's like, I don't know, let's try to have our own kids. And I'm like, okay. And we had two of them, and I was very, very sick with them. So after two, it was just it was too much for my body to handle. And so the idea of adoption came up again after years of marriage. And he said, okay, I think about it, I'll pray about it. And he came home one day and he was just like, God told me we need to adopt, and we need to adopt right now. We went into the adoption process in 2013, got matched with a birth mother in August of 2013. January 2013, we started. August, we got matched. And the Spirit of God just told me, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. This birth mother, it just put an angst in my spirit. And I did some detective work myself, did Google and, you know, social media, and found out that this birth mother was scamming us and she wasn't pregnant at all. Was so frustrated because she had told us she was pregnant with twins. And I remember being absolutely, completely devastated because my family, we were expecting these twins. We were wanting these twins, desperately wanting them. And I felt like God said, listen, I'm going to restore something to you. So we had to wait 2 more years, but God, in 2 days, God gave us a match with Moses. We were matched February 18th and February 19th. We got a call about getting matched with Haven. So Satan stole our twin girls from this birth mother that had scammed us, but he restored them with Moses and Haven. And of course, now they're 4 years old and, you know, they're totally crazy. But yes, God, that was a persevering prayer. That was a fighting. That was all of them wrapped up in one. But both of them were huge answer to prayers.
Huge answer. And I know because we had talked just briefly about it, and you're like, you're going to have to read it in the other part of the book coming up. I was like, I can't wait that long. But I got to it. I was like, oh, now I understand why, because there's so much more to the story. And I don't think people realize how, not just sacred, but how intimate prayer is. You write in your book and you title one part within a chapter, prayer is a lifestyle.
It really is. I will say, I could even get emotional if I talk about it. Like, I don't want to be sappy or like whatever, but I don't know what I would do without that open line of communication. I'm highly communicative anyways, if you cannot tell.
Surely not.
But I need assurance. I need to know that God is walking with me, that something greater than me is standing in the gap for me. Just yesterday, I got up early in the morning and went outside and had my quiet time and was sitting there. And God took me to an amazing passage of scripture about Abraham. But one of the things that he told my spirit and confirmed through the verse was, I'm so glad that you were obedient. He talked all about obedience in my devotional. And, you know, I felt like yesterday, no matter how the book launch went, if it tanked, if it were like number 4 million, you know, no matter how the book launch went, I started yesterday being approved by God, being him being my ultimate champion of the day. And it's that type of lifestyle that brings power, that fuels miracles. It's that type of lifestyle. I'm not dependent on how humans react to my project. I'm dependent on whether God approves it. So it's that type of lifestyle that is, I mean, I don't ever want to be any other way. It's very powerful.
Well, how do you fit prayer into your life? I mean, you're busy. You even talk about it in your book, your schedule. And I have 5 children, so I know what it's like. I mean, between you, like we talked about before, we got a team happening here.
You get it.
You know, we're almost there to NFL basketball. Not basketball, football. We've surpassed the basketball thing. We've got even, you know, some sitting on the sidelines. But how do you fit prayer in your daily life with all the busyness, all that you do in the comings and goings?
I get up early. That's my secret. I do have a very busy schedule. I love my busy schedule. I don't complain about it. I love it. I pray. These are the days I prayed for. But I get up early. I sacrifice. I ain't sleep until noon over here. Sometimes to write this book, I would get up at 4 a.m. every single morning and I would write for a couple of hours. Then I would feed my kids and get them to school and then write for a couple more hours. But when prayer is your lifestyle and when you understand the power it produces, it is worth every sacrifice that you give it. When you understand how important it is, it's not a side thing, it's the lifeblood to our Christian walk. you sacrifice for. I mean, there's sometimes at night that I just feel like, you know what? I need to turn off Netflix and I need to just go sit in the presence of the Lord. I know that that fuels me. And without it, I feel cranky. I feel mean. I've got like got problems. I need that. So I sacrifice for it. So I get up really, really early before my kids wake up. And I do the time that I need to. And then of course, 100% throughout the day, it's a very normal part of my family, a very normal part of my life throughout the day.
Well, you all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Gangster Prayer, Relentlessly Pursuing God with Passion and Great Expectation. I got to tell you, I absolutely love all of this. We could be here for 3 or 4 or 5 days, not hours, just saying. There's so much in here, and it's not just for women. I'm putting it out there. It's for men. And I shared a story with you personally, Autumn, before we came on. I'm not going to tell that story. But the portion I want to share, I'm going to leave it as a teaser. If you have a man in your life that you love dearly, you need to pick up this book and read the part. You're going to have to go through a few chapters to get to that part, but it's going to be worth every read, I promise you. There's a part in here that Autumn shares with the permission disclaimer here from her husband and how God worked a miracle and how it all came together. I'm just telling you, you got to pick up the book and read it. It's incredible. It'll be life-changing for you. So that directs me, though, to ask this question.
Okay.
Marriage. Prayer.
Yes.
How can you pray together and begin to build a foundation of prayer as a couple?
So important, so necessary. My husband and I, we have two independent spiritual lives. I depend on God for my spiritual life, not my husband. Now, that's just the way we've always done it. He has his own spiritual life and I have my own. However, we just, as of Sunday, and it's crazy that you asked me this question, sat down. There was something that we were dealing with in our life. We sat down and we prayed together as a couple. And, you know, a lot of times we'll be talking and he'll be telling me a problem that we have, or I'll be telling him, and we just start praying. It's not like, okay, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Sunday night, I was sitting there and I could just feel the sense and the weight and the stress of this issue that he was going through. And I just immediately started praying, and we came together as a couple where two or three are gathered. There I am in the midst of them is what the word says. But it is a part of the culture of our marriage. We have seen when God got a hold of my life, it was before I was married. Okay. So I brought a pretty strong, hefty prayer life into our marriage. I would have never married Eddie if I didn't think that he was just as passionate about the Lord than I was. That's just kind of where I was at that time. But we have maintained that over the years through the fights, when I'm like, oh God, you gotta change him or I'm gonna kill him, you know, through those fights, through the adoption process where we both were weak and we didn't know what to do. We knew that Eddie didn't have any sort of leadership. We were both heartbroken when we were scammed. I didn't either. So we relied on the Spirit of God. There are several different ways you can do this. Of course, praying together. We just pray. We just start praying. Also, we have also prayed for 2 weeks about a subject that we're disagreeing on and not talked about it. We have prayed separately. And then at the end of 2 weeks, we've come together. And every time, it's the same conclusion because he's got the same Spirit of God that I do. But it's developing a culture of seeking the Lord, wanting that abundant life that God tells us that we can have, and knowing that seeking the Lord and being in prayer and asking and requesting is the avenue to get there.
I love it. Well, I know that we need to be praying more as couples coming together. But I also like that you acknowledge that you each have your own communication. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also important to remember. And we need to be praying for our spouse.
Yes.
As much as praying for our children and our family, but specifics, you know, you talk about this. And I just really would encourage, if you've got people in your life, those who are listening and watching right now, and it's about time to hit back to school. You've got kids that are going off to college. Maybe you're becoming an empty nester. You're in a different season of life. You need to take a hold of this book. And I would recommend this based on what I have read personally. Take one chapter, because I'm going to tell you, Autumn, if you haven't thought about it already, you need to do a full Bible study. This really? Could be like a whole, like, maybe like course, not as to like to how to pray, but getting people and allowing them to know what it's like to really connect, because we're missing it in the churches. We yeah. got the lights going, we got the fog machines, we got the great pictures and the awesome singers and the musicians. And I love all that. Like we said earlier, the pro's there, but mm-hmm. the pro won't matter if God isn't there.
That's right.
And
yeah.
he's got to be there. And so if you're in a season of life right now, I'm telling you, go pick up this book. We'll have links in the show notes. Mm-hmm. You can get it anywhere now. I mean, mm-hmm. I know I've been on her website, but we will share all of that. Go find it, read it. Take one chapter. Like, for example, let me just grab one. Here, because I am going to just grab one. This one is chapter 7. Imagine that. I love God's number 7, fighting, not quitting. Mm. And the fight, the lie on this one is, I've been praying about this for so long with no answer, so I should just quit.
Mm.
How many people are sitting in that position right now? Yeah. I don't want to keep you much longer, Autumn, but I just feel the Spirit moving. Would you pray right now for those who are listening with a heavy heart that want to be drawn closer to God?
Yes, yes. So, Lord, oh, we need you, Lord. We need you. We need you. We need you, Jesus. We need you. We need you. Spirit of God, I pray for that person who knows this is for them, but is hesitant to do the work. I pray for that person right now, Lord, Spirit of God. I pray that you would move in their hearts and you would remind them, listen, don't trust this book, trust me. Spirit of God, I pray for that person who needs a miracle. They got a doctor's report, Lord. Their husband just filed for divorce, Lord. They're in danger of losing their kids, Lord. And they're thinking, I don't know what to do. I am desperate for a move of God. God, I pray that you would encourage them, Lord, that you are the sustainer. You are the one that breaks chains. You are the one in the Bible that walk through the different cities and villages doing miracles. I pray that you would remind them where their source of strength comes from, Lord. I pray that you would remind them that there is hope for their situation, God. God, I pray for that mother right now that's childless. She's got a mother's heart. You've built her to be a mother, but she is childless. And she just like Hannah, almost she just doesn't have the capacity to even speak anymore. Her heart is just so broken for this child that you for some reason has withheld. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this book would encourage her and remind her, Lord, that if you've said it, she's to wait. She's to expect for it. She's to believe you, not the doctor's report. She's to look for a miracle. God, I pray for that person right now that's been told that they aren't going to use their limbs again. I pray for that person that you've told that you're going to heal them, but all they're hearing from the doctors is that, no, there's no medical procedure for this. This is just the way it is. You're going to have to accept it. Lord, I pray for that person. I pray that you would speak to that person right now and that they would believe you over what was told to them. Lord, I pray that the life-giving oxygen of your Spirit, Lord, would invade every single listener and every single viewer. I pray that you would challenge them that, listen, what you're seeing on this podcast, there's so much more that they could experience if they would just plug into their prayer life, overhaul, get serious about their relationship with Christ, get serious about their communication to Christ. We trust you, Lord. We trust you with our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for everyone that you're going to reach through this. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that was beautiful. I'm hugging you from across the airways, girl. I love you so much.
You're amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you?
You can find me anywhere. Autumn Miles, autumnmiles.com. You can find me at Facebook and Instagram. I don't really do Twitter at all. But those two places, you just find, just Google my name. I'll come up and I'm there. I would love to connect though. Would love it.
Well, fabulous. Well, before I let you go, the series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Oh my goodness. This book. I was just telling someone the other day, you know, if it wasn't for my story, I think you kind of learn how much you've healed when you're looking at your life and you're saying, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here. And I would say my story, although it's an ugly one, has been the greatest gift that God has ever given me, because it's a chance for me to proclaim his glory. And anyone who will listen.
Amen, girl. Keep shining your light. I love you so much. Can't wait to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You're amazing.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.